morning, Sacred. I'm going to try not to cry a lot today. So go ahead and open up your Bibles because we got to get right to it. We're going to Psalm 63 today, which is a very classic psalm. It's used a lot. It's because it's one of those ones that's just incredibly reassuring. So while you're finding that on your phones, or if you have a paper Bible, it'll also be up on the screens. So I watch TV probably more in this past season of my life than I ever have before, because I've just spent so much time laying down while my back recovers and rests each day. And, you know, we go through that whole process of life. And so after I get work finished and I'm still just there staring at the ceiling, I have been watching shows that I wasn't always into. Things like Criminal Minds and like real true crime dramas and that kind of thing. And Ben is like, you never watch this stuff. I'm like, I know, but I'm totally interested now in some of those. But even more so than that, it's been like the Survivor shows, but not like Survivor the game show, reality show, not like, you know, vote people off the island kind of thing, but no, like the ones where they drop somebody by helicopter 100 miles from any society whatsoever, and then the person just has to make it, right? And so this person has all the camera gear, and you know that the med checks come in every so often, and they check on the participants and all of this stuff. One of these is called Alone, okay? And Alone, they've done it in different climates and in different places. Once there was, you know, this one where they were given like a beast, basically, you know, they were given some sort of wild game. But in most of them, they weren't even given any sort of food supplies. They were just given this survival pack, and then they could pick 10 items to go with them, okay? So a lot of times we're asked the question, like if you're stranded on a desert island, what one thing would you want to take with you? I would take a boat, right? So I could then get off said stranded island. And a lot of times we think about that, but if, you know, if somebody were to ask me, actually, what would you take into this desolate land? Generally, they did it in a place where the temperatures dropped below zero. And you had to survive longer than anybody else, but you were all alone. What would you take with you? Now, because I have watched and binge-watched every single season that this show has ever had, as well as its spinoffs by this point, I know that I would want something to hunt large game with. I would want a gill net, which I'd never heard of before this show, but it's a certain kind of net that you put it in the water a certain way when the water's, I have learned so much. I feel like I could be an Eagle Scout at this point. Like, I know that I don't want to go into the woods and just depend on a friction fire. That's where you like take the sticks and the string and try to like heat it up at the bottom. I don't want to do that, because people who say they're really good at that aren't good at that. I would want to have like the flint, the fire starter thing, because apparently that's hard enough as it is. I know that I would need a shelter, right? And so it tends to be in these places where there's all kinds of precipitation, storms roll in very quickly. So I know how I would want to use my tarp and how I would want to, you know, pack it so that the heat would stay inside and so that the wet wouldn't come through. And I know that I'd want to have a chimney so I could have an actual fire in my living space, and I'd want to keep it as small as possible. But if you have some of the comforts of home, you tend to stay longer than other people. There are people who came with these ideas of activities they wanted to do. Someone made a guitar. I don't think I would achieve that. But it made them happy while they were all alone. Some of them, actually one season, brought a friend or family member. It was alone, but it was only two people. Do you know that they stayed, the team that stayed the longest, stayed less time than the other seasons where somebody was all alone by themselves? Because two people, you're going to get on each other's nerves, right? Because you are the only other person. You can only disagree with each other. And so I would watch these seasons after season. One guy famously, if you've ever watched the series, that is, had tons of fish that he'd caught, he had stored, he had dried them, and he had them sitting there. And he was wasting away. I mean, he, skin and bones. That's all he was. And they came to do one of the med checks, and they weighed him, and they checked his muscle tone. He had lost so much weight, so much muscle at that point, that they said, we have to pull you before you do damage to your body that can't be fixed. He's like, but I have food. I'll just start eating more. And they said, it's too late for that. He had to leave his adventure. He couldn't finish his task, even though he had what he needed. He just wasn't using it. Another season, somebody caught big game. I don't remember if it was just, I think it was a moose or, you know, elk or something of that sort. It was giant. But then he had to spend so much of his time and energy protecting what he had collected. It took him so much of his energy over and over again. He had this huge cache. He was like, this is going to make me get through this. I'm going to be able to win because of this. I will have all the fat that I need. I will have all the good meat that I need. But he had to keep protecting it, and he had to keep protecting it. And it used so much of his energy to fight against the other predators that in the end, he was never able to use everything he said he would about this glorious treasure. There are so many times in our life where we are in these situations, maybe not alone in a forest or in Antarctica or Patagonia. I learned that was a real place. I just thought it was a brand name. Apparently, there's a real Patagonia, and there's a season there. And we get into this, and we are so confident that we've picked the right tools, that we have all we need. And some of them were the most skilled, the most excellent at providing for themselves. They would get out there. They'd have a wonderful shelter that would totally keep them safe. They could have made it through the whole time. They could have won the $500,000. But after a while, they said, it's time to go home. I'm totally healthy. I could totally keep going. But it's time to go home. It's time for the change because I've gotten here what I needed to get here. But now my family needs me back home. And they'd make a decision and the boat would come to get them. And they would basically go off into the sunset. And as this week, I was just going through all of the tools here at Sacred. And I was going through all of the things we've done and the conversations I've had with you and the ministry that has happened and the way we've impacted communities and lives and all of these things. There was also that sense of, okay, this season is what this season is. So I want to read with you today Psalm chapter 63 because it holds me. And I want it to hold you the same. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and your glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. See, one of the most powerful positions we can ever be in our lives is needy. One of the most powerful positions you can ever be in life is needy. Because when you recognize your need, you recognize your limits. You recognize what's going to have to happen. You recognize what you have very clearly and also very clearly what you don't have. So it's a position of power for us as believers to stand in a place of need because we know that we know we have a God that is ultimate and without need. He's without, or excuse me, beyond our greatest imagination, beyond anything we can fathom. It says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has the wealth of heaven that he can open up the heavens and bless us and bestow us for stewardship. All of these things that he can do. And so when I'm standing in a place of need, I can say, I have these 10 things that I brought with me, but this is what I need, Lord. This is what I need. I need to be sheltered under you. I need to be fed by you. I need the living water to flow through me. See, it doesn't matter if it's a physical situation, even though sometimes we face those, but most often it's an emotional situation, a relational situation. It might be a spiritual situation where we stand there, or maybe we've gotten down on our knees like I would see these competitors on the show and just cry out. And sometimes they would act like no one heard them, even though they had 10 cameras around them and somebody was always watching. I think sometimes we do the same thing. We feel from our alone place like we're going to cry out and there's going to be nothing there. But when we recognize the truth of the Bible and who God really is, you're never alone. You are never alone. You are never abandoned by the helicopter. You're never hours away from rescue. You are never at any point in your life stranded on a desert island without help. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter if you feel like you missed the shot that was going to provide for you. Because that's not who God is. He's the one that's always there. He's the one that always comes through. Oh God, you are my God. That alone is an incredibly amazing prayer that we can cry out because it declares our position and his position. Not Jesus, you're this amazing man who walked the earth. Because we might be thinking, I too am an amazing person who walks this earth. But when we say, oh God, you are my God, then we know he is higher. We know he is stronger. We know he is provider. We know that he is the one who comes through in every single dark place. And so when we are in that powerful position of need, when we're in that powerful position of need, it changes our tense. It changes the vocabulary of how we speak. Listen to how the songwriter put these verb tenses in the scripture. I know. This is what I know. It also said, you did this. I'm remembering what God has done for me or for others in the past. You will. In the future, tomorrow, I don't have to worry about it because God, you're already there. I have seen in the past. I will praise you. In the future. Right now I thirst, and in the same psalm, right now I am satisfied. Right now I may lie awake, but right now I also cling to your right hand. We talked last week a bit about that tension, that dichotomy between faith and fear, and how faith can even guide us into, fear can even guide us into a better way of having faith in the Lord in our lives. And when we recognize that I can lie awake at night and not quite know everything and the way it's going to work out, I can also cling. I can also hold on to the truth of God in my life.
even when I am thirsty and I feel like I don't have enough and I don't know if I'll make it through, I am also living satisfied that I'm taking a breath that he's given me to breathe so I have enough. I have everything that I need in this moment because he knows my needs more than I do. Oh God, you are my God. And I just want to leave you with that. I want to challenge you with that, to always just simply call out to him. One of the pastor mentors that I never actually met, but has mentored me through his writing and through his ministry, said that at the core of his pastoring career over, I think he was, a pastor for like 60 years or so. He said at the core is to teach people to pray and to die well. To pray, to talk to God regularly, and to die well. In other words, live right relationships. Don't be on your deathbed needing to say a bunch of apologies, right? Live well with one another. Actually love your neighbor as yourself. Live a life that's pleasing to God so you're not worried on your deathbed. And this passage just sums that up for me. Because if I will start all of my needs, if I will start all of my prayer, all of my petition, all of my praise with God, you are my God. I'm starting the conversation of prayer. And if I end everything with, I cling to you, your strong right hand holds me securely, there is no fear. There is nothing else to be done, because at the end of the day, the entire point of our existence is to be in right relationship with him, is to cling to his hand, is to get to know God better. Because if we get too worried about these relationships, we forget that we have all of eternity to relate. See, because we should be sharing Jesus. If we're worried about seeing people in heaven, then we need to be more anxious about actually sharing the gospel with them. We need to talk about Jesus. We need to talk about God as a reality in our lives. We need to talk about eternity as a reality for our lives. And the best way to do that is to live it. Is to live it and to show it. And I am so proud of Sacred. I am so proud of our community and the way so many of you have chosen to always step up and just live it and to show it. And I've watched you in your hard days cry out, God, you are my God. Because you turn to him instead of turning to something else. I've watched you, people cling when there was nothing left to hold on to. And the best part of that is that we aren't on some TV show where people only find out what happens in our lives weeks after it's over. We live life together. We do not live life alone. We live life together. We do not live life alone. And one of the best things about this is that we can do all of these things in community. We can cry out to God. We can talk about our needs. We can talk about our wants. We can talk about the provision and how it's happened. We can talk about God's glory in our lives. We can talk about all of those things. I'll share one miracle that we're in the process of in our family. One of our decisions to move back to Sacramento, we had a very specific prayer, Ben and I, that if this was what God was calling us to do next, and that was the place that he was calling us to be, that we would say yes in obedience. And part of that was specifically to be closer to some friends and family that live in that area. Now, has anyone tried to buy a house recently in California? It ain't pretty. And the market, it is so fast. Things come on the market and then they're off the market in a day or two. We were touring a house, and in the next house we went through with our agent, we found out that the last house had just sold. No joke. It was the first day it was available. They had already had a bunch of offers and they took one and it was pending. We went to see 8 different houses 1 week and 1 day. 2 of them made me not want to cry about living there, okay? Just because it's like, oh, that's a lot of work to do. And I didn't want to necessarily have a lot of work to do to make the home livable. And so we had these 2 houses that we really liked. One of them then sold while we were touring. And then there was this other one. So we put an offer in and we knew that there was going to be a bidding war. Everything goes above listing. We knew all of those things, but we also knew our personal limits and stewardship and, hey, we're not spending more than this because that's not smart. And so we put that in. And then a few days later, our agent calls us and she says, okay, so we didn't get that house. No big surprise. Investors are able to put on cash offers. They're able to buy houses very quickly. We understand why that's pretty for sellers. But it was a bit of a bummer because it was right near a school that we would like the kids to go to. So in the conversation, my agent said, you know, but just keep looking at more houses online. Like we've said, something hits the market every day. Every few hours, there's another house. She's like, in fact, I have another client who's got a house going on the market this weekend. It's a 4-bedroom. And so, you know, if you guys want to see that one, we can go look at that one. So I'm like, okay, sure, you know, whatever. We're going to have to make a list, make another trek over there. Go through the motions. And then at the end of the conversation, she's like, okay, so that other house I was talking about that I have a client that's selling, it's not going to be in the listings until tomorrow afternoon. So I'll just go ahead and send you the whole gallery of pictures from the photographer. So that way you see all of them. Okay? That's great. So she sends us by text when we get off the phone. And it has the address at the top of it. And I turn to Ben and I say, Ben, that street, isn't that where so-and-so lives? So-and-so being a family we're incredibly close to. We call them family. You know, friends who are like family. We've known them for 16 plus years. Their kids are our kids' ages. He's like, yeah, that's their street. I'm like, oh. So before I even look up the pictures, you know, click on that link, I'm texting the agent, well, we're going to want to see it because it's, you know, we don't know what side of the city, so it could be the same street but blocks and blocks away. We don't know. And then Ben says, well, what was the street number? Because Mr. Info already has Google open and he's going to look it up. So I give him the street number and he's like, oh, Kathy, that's next door. Next door to the friends that were one of the reasons that we chose Sacramento when God said it's time to go. Next door? Like next door, next door? Yes, as in you can see their house in the pictures of this house. So our agent called the sellers. They were thrilled with the idea of never having to put the house on the market, never having to deal with hundreds of people walking through their home for showings, never going through all of that, and we were under contract the next day without it ever hitting listing. Now, it's still in the processes, and we've still got some prayers to go through, so I call it the miracle in process, because for us, and this is what God does for us, this is what God does for you. When you step out in obedience, when you say, here's my need, but God, you are my God, and I have seen what you do, and I will praise you. He said to us, you said yes in obedience. And said, okay, because it will take you closer to some friends and family. Well, let me show you exactly how close I can get you. Is next door okay? Can you walk out your back door, around the back fence, that, and then into theirs? Will that work for you? And for us and for that other family, we just wept. And I began to pray, God, this will be a really good testimony. So you should really make this one happen. Because I know I can't. I know I can't do it, but I know who can. I know the God that provides because I can say, I have seen what you've done. I have seen how you've provided, not just for me, but for others. And if you don't know anyone that God's ever stood up for or provided for or healed, start reading the Bible. Because over and over again, you will get to know these stories where in the sanctuary, we are able to gaze upon his power and his glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you now, how I will praise you as long as I live. So that's what we do in every season. We don't have to go and be alone, but we have never done this alone either. Because here at Sacred, there has always been others with us. I'm going to ask the Rodriguez family to come up. Yeah, they can bring the boys up. One of the processes in ministry in our tradition of churches is working with our district leadership when it comes to transitions and how things are done within churches. And I called Dr. Sam Huddleston, who's our assistant superintendent. He lives in Sacramento. He's one of my mentors and pastors in my life, and let him know that our family had been called to make a shift and a move in our lives. So the first question, because of our deep relationship, he said, what do you need from me? Because anything you need, we've got you, Kathy. The second question was talking about you here at Sacred. And in that conversation, it goes through Dr. Samuel. It also goes through Dr. Samuel. It goes through Pastor Brett Allen, our superintendent, who's like the pastor of all the pastors in NorCal and Nevada in our fellowship. And then also through Jay Herndon, our secretary treasurer. These great men are our leaders, my personal leaders, and who I'm accountable to. And through those conversations, they, as the official board with Sacred, have decided, with also my full blessing and suggestion, to have as your appointed pastors Pastor Joel and Melissa Rodriguez for the next season here at Sacred Church. Now, as our tradition does, the congregation has a chance to basically give an expression about that. So Wednesday night at 7:00, there will be a family meeting online. Remember, we don't call them business meetings, we call them family meetings. So 7:00, we will send out the email once that is finalized with our executive presbyter, a pastor in the area. Normally, it would be the presbyter. I happen to be the presbyter in this area, so we're having to get someone else. That's why we're securing that date, because as the outgoing pastor, I went and do this. So we'll have that online gathering, and then you will have a chance to give a vote of expression, basically, regarding the Rodriguez's becoming the lead pastors here at Sacred Church, but then also a time to just hear from Pastor Joel, some vision and thought for the future from them, and also ask any questions that you may have. So this is another, just another example of, we don't do this alone. We don't do this alone. We don't have to walk in ministry alone. Never in any season of pastoring Sacred have we felt alone, because of so many of you in this room. And I want to challenge you in the next season to make sure for each other that none of you, including the next pastor's family, are ever walking alone. Because when you do that, you can come alongside one another and simply say, God, you are our God. So earnestly we seek you. It's that simple to pray for one another. It's that simple to lift one another up, to lift each other's hands up. So this morning, I want you to stand with me. I know they have some things planned, so I'll hand over the mic in a moment. Go ahead and stand if you're able. If you're not, that's fine. A lot of times in Pentecostal churches, they'll do like that whole ministry of not walking across the room, you know, and like put your hand forward instead of coming forward or anything like that. I wonder if we can just put our hands kind of out to show community. God, right now we ask for your blessing. Father, it's tradition here at Sacred that I give a pastor a blessing at the end of the message as we're about to go back into our lives and the daily work and all of those things. But God, may you grant all of us the peace of Jesus Christ. God, may we be examples of the psalmist who cried out for you, for your greatness and your glory, who saw you do great things in the sanctuary in times of worship, but also saw you do great things on the battlefield, saw you do great things in the marketplace, saw you do great things in the family. And so, God, we ask for that continued blessing, and we stand in truth knowing that you provide the way forward, that you provide the vision, that you provide the means, God, and we simply steward one another through love. So as we reach out our hands symbolically to one another, may we continue as the family of God. We are not just ever here at Sacred for a season, because as believers in Jesus Christ, we have an eternity of life together. So I thank you for that. And I praise you, and I thank you for the humbling honor of having been part of that story here in San Bruno. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen.